right, Genesis chapter 37 tonight. How many of you, as you were listening to that song, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, you're thankful that we have a shepherd? Anybody thankful that we have a shepherd that cares about us, that leads us through the tough pathways in life? I'll tell you, you know, I've faced some things that to me were a big deal. And maybe that's where you're at this year. Maybe last year, maybe you've been through some things as well. And you say, boy, I don't know how I got through that. I think that song's a great reminder for us to thank the shepherd that loves and cares for us. Genesis chapter 37 tonight. You know, I enjoy so much the stories in the book of Genesis. There's exciting stories. There's a lot going on. God's dealing with his people. And you know, you've got all the different amazing Bible characters that we're just simply, you know, following the presence of God and looking towards him. But, you know, I think for you guys as teenagers, I think that each one of you should be looking for Bible characters who, when they were young, did right. And I think that you should study those characters. Find the teenagers of Scripture or the young people that are found in the Word of God and lock in on some of the traits that you see there. Before we get too far into the service tonight, anybody not have a Bible this evening? We've got some extras. If you don't have a Bible tonight, if you just maybe lift your hand and we could get you, we've got some extras here. We'd like everybody to have a Bible. Very good. Okay. All right. Maybe we've gotten all the extras given out. Okay. All right. Hopefully you're near one at any rate. But my point being, hey, find the teenagers of Scripture that did right, lock in on them, and find some traits that you can follow after, okay? The person we're going to talk about tonight is, I think they're one of them. And quite frankly, when I look at Joseph, I see so many things that I want to be myself. Anybody like that? Anybody say, boy, you look at Joseph and you just see the man that he was and you're like, wow, Lord, man, I fail, but oh, man, I want to follow the example of Joseph. We're going to look at some things tonight I think are really important, but I want you to see, and there's so many different aspects that we could preach on in regards to the life of Joseph, but follow with me, Genesis chapter 37. I want to show you just a couple of verses, and I want us to notice in verse 3 what the Bible says. Look at what it says, 37 verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph, that's Jacob, loved Joseph, his son, more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Okay, I got to turn the page, and I come to verse 23. Go to verse 23. I want to show you here. And it says, in verse 23, it says this, and it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Go now with me to chapter 39. Go with me. Chapter 39. I want us to notice here verse 12. Verse 12, it says this, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I want to challenge you with this thought tonight. Don't be afraid to lose your coat. Don't be afraid to lose your coat. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us during this time. Lord, this is the most important moment of the entire day. Lord, I want you to receive the glory. Father, I want you to work in such a way that would make us more like you. Lord, I wish that I could somehow change every heart in this room, change every mind, and Lord, somehow rally everyone's enthusiasm and motivation for the cause of Christ. Lord, I cannot do that. Lord, this is something that only your Holy Spirit can do. Lord, would you take away all the distractions tonight? Lord, would you make it so that, Father, we see you high and lifted up in a way, Father, maybe we've not in a long time. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind your cross. Lord, I think about maybe someone here tonight, Lord, who has put off salvation or has no security, Lord, in you. I pray that, Father, even without addressing the topic, Lord, that they would be drawn to you and toward making a decision for salvation. Lord, use this time, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen. Don't be afraid to lose your coat. How many of you have ever lost something that was really important to you? You lost it, it was very important to you. How many of you would say, you know what, I'm actually, and I'm okay to admit this, I'm prone to losing or misplacing some things. How many of you would say that? Okay. All right, I see those hands. Yep. All right. Who would be willing to share something that you lost, it was important to you? Alex. Oh, yeah. Boy, multiple times, okay? How many of you? Okay, now, wait. I have this question for you, those of you who wear glasses. Listen, those of you who wear glasses, have you ever had it to where you lost your glasses, but then you realized that they were simply up here? Anybody? Anybody had that before? Okay, all right. That does happen, okay? I occasionally maybe do that with my shades. Where'd they go? You know? Let somebody else, what'd you lose? Let's go over here. Yes, ma'am. A necklace. Okay, yeah. Did you ever find it? Well, that's good. I'm glad you found it. Yes, Karen. Ooh, did you find it? Oh, listen, there's a red jacket somewhere. We don't know, okay? You find a red jacket, it's hers. All right, Kate? Ooh. How many of you lost your wallet? Okay, you've lost your wallet. Okay, good. A couple more. Lexi? Ooh. Now that one's bad. I don't know if I'd rather lose my phone or my wallet. It's kind of a toss-up. I guess it depends on if I come across it again. I don't know which is worse to lose. Bennett, what'd you lose? Oh, no. All right. Man, that's good. Okay, yes, Happit. That's bad. She lost her passport on the airplane. Okay? Sort of reminds me of some trips I've been on with teenagers at times. Okay, all right, put your hands down. You know, I've lost keys. I've lost my phone. I didn't have a dog growing up, so I didn't lose my dog, but we did lose my friend's dog. Yeah, that was bad. I lose my keys occasionally, but I've had it where I've lost my car. You laugh, but listen, this is going to happen to you. Maybe it won't. But you're gonna have something on your mind. You're gonna be running errands. You're gonna pull into a parking spot. You're gonna run in the store. You're gonna get everything that you wanted, and you're gonna come out and you're gonna start panning. And you're like, where did I park? I've had that before. And at that time, you're what are you relying on? What are you relying on when you forget? Your panic button, yes. Which is only good if you're 2 feet away from your vehicle. All right, so you're sitting there doing this. Listen, we've lost some things before. Joseph, it's interesting that Scripture records that, number one, he has this coat that's very special to him. Okay, he loses that coat that his father had given him, and then we have later on in his life, and boy, things have changed in his life since then. And we see that here is another milestone in his life where he makes a key decision, and yet we see him losing his coat. That coat represents sort of an outward appearance, we could say. But Joseph, even though he lost his coat, he didn't lose his character or his fellowship with his Creator. And this is what I want to challenge you with tonight. Don't be afraid to lose your coat. And this is really what I'm going to talk about, is that what you can expect if you choose to follow God on a regular basis. We've talked before about the description of a Christian and how the Lord wants to have a relationship with you. We've also talked about the description of a disciple, and there is a difference, okay? When you get saved, God wants you to have a close relationship with Him. If you say yes to that and obey Him, you will be a disciple of Christ, okay? But a person can accept Christ and fall away from the Lord and not want to be a close follower, as in a disciple of Christ. But let me tell you this, if you make the decision, Lord, I'm going to begin every day with you, and I'm going to end every day with you, These are some things that you can expect. And we see it in the life of Joseph. Joseph, I encourage you to take notes tonight. Notice with me number one. I want you to see in chapter 37, notice the adversity of Joseph. Turn back, chapter 37, and really you can see this, the adversity of Joseph all over the place in chapter 37. Notice with me, you get a little bit of the context in verse 3. Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. Okay? He gives him this coat of many colors, but we notice the response of his other brothers, which was the end of verse 4, says that they hated him and his brethren, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. There was not a moment of peace from their perspective as long as Joseph was around. Maybe you've had a particular time where you didn't get along well with their sibling. And you say, wow, that kind of describes maybe a week in my house with my sibling at one point. We had a war going on. Okay, well, this was more than that. There was not a time in his brother's relationship where they looked at him and said, hey, you know what? We want to live peaceably with you. That wasn't the case. They hated him. You turn a further along in the chapter and you find in verse 10, and he told it to his father. He dreams a dream here. His father observes it. And then in verse 18, we have his brothers responding by conspiring against to slay him. Obviously, we know the story. Reuben steps in, talks him out of it, and basically says, hey, you know what? We'll stick him in this pit and then decide. They later decide to sell him into slavery, which obviously altered the course of his life. Joseph faced adversity. And understand this, Christian. Listen, if you want to live for the Lord, you're going to face some adversity in this life. Listen to the words of Peter when he says this. Excuse me, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. The devil and others will be focusing on trying to trip you up. You know, I think it's interesting there that Paul said those that live godly in Christ Jesus. And why does he say godly? Because the fact of the matter is, there are some people that have accepted Christ as their Savior, but do not live godly. They do not live differently in regards to the world. They do not think differently. They do not act differently. And therefore, there's not much persecution going on because people do not see a difference between them and the people that they're focusing on. So you see here that this is just something that comes with the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy if ye be reproached for the name of Christ. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. On their past he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You know, we should not think it strange one bit that life gets difficult. There are times that you're going to have people make fun of you because of your beliefs. And you're going to have an opportunity to stand either on what you believe or you cower away from it. But I encourage you, don't be discouraged by the adversity that you may face. I want you to notice very specifically, though, notice that Joseph was number one, he was mistreated. And we see that in how his brothers treated him. They're conspiring against him. They want to sell him into slavery. And you know, sometimes we in the Christian life think that maybe we as preachers don't do a good enough job at painting the Christian life. But sometimes we think, hey, following Christ means love, joy, peace, fun, easy living, a bed of roses. Okay? Now, are there things associated with those things that I just mentioned in the Christian life? Absolutely. There is joy. There is love. These things are found in Christ. But at the same time, we have to balance that with the fact that those who live godly shall suffer persecution. And of course, here, us living in the United States, this would be a very tame perspective from ours. The day and time that the New Testament was written, obviously a different story. But Joseph here, he was certainly mistreated. You know, I think about when I got a job, and really, when you get a job, it sort of ushers in sort of what welcome to the real world. Okay, Now, if you've grown up in a Christian home and your parents love you and they've instilled Christian values in your life, boy, thank God, okay, because you are absolutely going to draw from that in the future. And I'll tell you, when I got a job, I had to draw from that training because I was sort of on the front lines. Now, I will tell you this. I worked at a place that was Christian owned, okay? The owner and his wife, sweet people, love the Lord, and they would say, yeah, I am a Christian. But that doesn't mean that everybody worked there loved Jesus. In fact, I had coworkers that didn't at all. And you know, as you start to get your coworkers a little bit, and they start asking you some questions, and then you kind of tell them where you're coming from, and maybe they respond by that in different ways. You know, I remember when people started getting to know me, that there was a time where people started kind of making fun of me a little bit. I remember several instances in which we would close the store, and usually what that meant is that whoever had the key that was locking up that night would control the music that was played. And so, you know, they didn't have to ask me, what do you like and not like music-wise? They made some assumptions, and they found some of the most profane rap music that they could find, and they turned it on. And they would be dancing around, you know, and I'm trying to do my work, and they would get in front of me, and they'd do all kinds of things. And you know what? This is really in regards to persecution. This is absolutely nothing, but here's my point. You and I shouldn't be surprised at that. Okay? If we are living according to following Christ, it's going to be different. In fact, it's going to be rare. And we can't let adversity or mistreatment affect our heart in serving God. Joseph didn't let even mistreatment from his own family come between him and his relationship with the Creator, with his Creator. He was mistreated. Notice number two, Joseph was also misunderstood. Now, I want you to notice this. In chapter 37, I find this really interesting. Now the Lord is revealing himself to Joseph. And how did he do that? How is the Lord revealing himself to Joseph? How did he do it? Josiah? He did it through a dream, absolutely. Okay, so how did the response come from his brothers when he told them about the dream? Was it good or bad? It was bad. Okay, they came out swinging, right? What? Excuse me? What are you saying? Well, now that was expected. They hated him. Notice the response, though, of Joseph's father. I want you to see this. Look with me at verse, let's find it here. Notice with me at verse 8, and it says here, of chapter 37, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 10, notice this, and he told it to his father, to his brethren, and his father what? Somebody that's reading it there. Look at it, verse 10, follow along with me, and his father what? Rebuked him. Interesting, isn't it? He rebuked him and said unto him, well, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Verse 11, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Okay, so Jacob understood when he stepped back and he said, okay, I know what God is doing here. The Lord is revealing himself to my son. But even on the flip side of that, Jacob comes to his son and says, what are you talking about? Are you rebuking? What is this? And he rebukes him. You know, there was a misunderstanding there. Jacob had Joseph's best intentions in mind, but there came a point where he simply didn't connect with where Joseph was at and what was happening in the situation. Hey, you are going to find that there are going to be people close to you who are going to misunderstand maybe your love for the Lord. You know, I remember when I was in high school, I was getting in the junior, senior, and I remember sitting down with my grandfather. He's about to turn 90 years old, but I remember sitting down with him and he talking to me about what I wanted to do with my life. And of course, I was looking towards the ministry, and I told him that. I said, I think that God wants me to use music or something like that. And, you know, I knew where he was coming from, so I didn't think much about it. But I remember him telling me this. He said, now, are you sure that you want to go and work at a church the rest of your life? I mean, I mean, is this really something that you're considering doing? You know, and he was, I would not call him a spiritual individual, so he didn't understand. But my point is this, is that sometimes you're going to have people that are close to you. Now, it may be a relative. It may be somebody, a friend, that's going to look at you and say, you know, I just can't connect with your dedication to the Lord in this area. And you know what? That's going to have to be okay. Because Joseph shows us that even though we're mistreated, even though that we're misunderstood on some of the highest level, we can still focus on the Lord and give our best to Him. He was not only mistreated, and he was not only misunderstood, but notice the third thing very quickly. He was also misplaced. Turn to chapter 39. Now, this is the end result of all the things that his brothers thought about him, but he was misplaced. He ended up in a place where he never expected to be. Notice verse 1 of chapter 39. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Can you imagine moving completely, not only locations, but lifestyle? I mean, Joseph goes from being a 17-year-old boy, enjoying, you know, growing up at home. Sure, there's some contention there, but now he is completely thrust into a different life. He is sold as a slave. Joseph, from a human perspective, has no future. This is it. He will probably get lost in the slavery of things and will die working with his hands the rest of his life. He was totally cut off from the area that he had been so comfortable with, and he became misplaced. You know what? Sometimes the Lord uproots you for a purpose. Sometimes we're uprooted because of other people's sin. But can I tell you this? No matter when we're uprooted in life, and that's a broad category, God always has a plan for you. That's probably really hard to see when we're in the middle of it. I've mentioned before that my senior year, seniors, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, I want you to imagine with me, okay, the church you've grown up with, the school you've gone to. Okay, now I want you to imagine your parents coming to you and saying, okay, it's the start of your senior year. We're leaving the church and we're leaving the school. That'd be a difficult thing. Some of you have maybe had that before, but maybe you were a little bit younger. That's a difficult place to be, especially if you want to be at that church or you want to be at that school. I had a very hard time with that decision. It wasn't mine to make, but I had to honor my parents. But I can tell you this, what God did in my heart my senior year, I look back on as a milestone. I look back on what God did in my heart, and I can say with confidence that was exactly what I needed at the time. Say, Brother Scott, was it uncomfortable? Yes, it was. Was it awkward whenever I saw my friends or this or that that still went to those ministries? Absolutely it was. But you know what? God used it in my life to direct me in a very clear way. And even though Joseph here, even though he was uprooted from where he was, even though he was mistreated, misunderstood, and now he's misplaced, God had a plan for him. And this is my point. Don't let adversity or the hard times shake your faith or trust in God. Don't do it. Because if it hasn't happened yet, you're going to face a hard time. You're going to face something that's going to challenge you in a way that you have never been challenged before. But you know what Brother Scott receives comfort in? A 17-year-old boy who just kept his eyes on the Lord. Kept his eyes on that fixed point. That all-sufficient, perfect, loving, consistent Savior. Joseph is on track to do great things. Notice in closing, just want to draw your attention here. Not only do we see the adversity of Joseph, but notice in closing, we see the attitude of Joseph. Notice chapter 39, after you finish jotting some of that down, I know some of you are taking notes, the attitude of Joseph. Notice chapter 39. Notice a few verses here. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. We read that. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man in spite of being a slave, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He's working up. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper at his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that it had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. The attitude of Joseph here, in spite of his situation, is just astounding. And can I tell you what Brother Scott would have done if he was in Joseph's position? I think pretty much after day one of being sold into slavery, I think that I would have began every morning by screaming at the top of my lungs about how I hated it so much and how maybe I was going to sue. Now, I'd have my signs out there and I'd be picketing back and forth and I'd say, hey, you know, down with Potiphar, you know, okay. I'd be doing that. You know, everyone would know that I was unhappy. Anybody else like that? I mean, if you were in this situation, would you not find yourself just a little bit upset, anxious about this situation? You know, we find nothing about Joseph's attitude being out of sorts. Not even a hint of it. You know, when I get to heaven, I want to have a conversation with Joseph. I want to sit down and I want to say, okay, now the Lord didn't say anything in Genesis, but tell me, did it bother you just a little bit? Of course it bothered him. But there's no point where he let that affect God's plan for him. He was focused on going further, but his attitude made all of the difference. Notice Joseph submitted patiently. He submitted patiently. What's happening here? He brings himself, he's sold as a slave. He's got the opportunity to either reject the authority that's in his life, that being Potiphar, or he has an opportunity to submit himself. Okay, I think about the verse in James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Worketh patience. God wants you and I to submit ourselves to the authority that is in our life. Submission literally means to abide under voluntarily. Okay, it's saying this, I recognize this authoritative structure and how God has placed them in my life, and I'm willing to serve under them. That's what Joseph did. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Potiphar the world's greatest Christian? Yes or no? No, he's not. Is Potiphar, is he a saved man? Probably not. Okay? But here's the point. Joseph, in spite of how spiritual or unspiritual Potiphar was, his authority, he was still willing to abide underneath that because it was the right thing to do. You know, sometimes you and I get hung up on our authority, imperfect authority. You understand that sometimes we set expectations for authority that are probably not realistic. You know what? Here's a news flash. You realize that I'm not the perfect dad? I'm not. I know. Shocking. You can ask my wife. She knows. Okay. Dear, don't agree to that. I'm not the perfect youth pastor. Okay? I'm not the perfect husband. Hey, do I want to be? Absolutely. Am I trying to be? Yes. Do I pray about it? I really do. Okay, but sometimes you and I, we give ourselves a lot of grace, but in regards to other authoritative structures that are in our life, we give none. Okay? Joseph takes away any excuses that we could ever have. You say, Brother Scott, my parents are a hypocrite. Have you looked in the mirror lately? We all have a little bit of hypocrisy in our lives, don't we? No, I'm being serious. Listen, hey, listen, focus with me, okay? Listen, we all have some hypocrisies in our life, okay? But it's really not about whether your mom or dad are right. It's about you. God doesn't hold you accountable for your parents. What does he hold you accountable for? Your own actions, okay? All I'm saying this, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. If conviction of God is on your heart, great. But I am saying this, take a long look at a 17-year-old boy who had it far worse off than you have had or I will ever experience, and yet he kept an attitude of patient submission. You understand that there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have more freedom and more responsibility. But can I tell you this? You are always going to look back on your home life, being raised as a child, as a teenager. You are always going to look back on those years, and you are either going to have times of regret, or you're going to have times where you say, wow, I'm thankful to the Lord that I submitted in these areas. I ask you tonight, are you abiding under, voluntarily, and submitting yourselves to your parents, to your teachers? You realize if you're knowingly doing wrong, that's not submitting to them. If you know right now that you're involved in something that your parents would be horrified at, but maybe they've not come right out and said it, but you know down deep in your heart that they would feel that way, you're not abiding under. We need to abide under like Joseph did. He maintained an attitude of patiently submitting himself. Not only that, but he served Potiphar. He's actively doing things for Potiphar, even though Potiphar was not a saved man. Not only did he serve Potiphar, but also he stayed pure. Look at verses 6 through 12 here. Notice everybody look at it. We're almost done. Genesis 39, 6 through 12. And I love this. Look at what it says. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass after this time that Joseph went to the house, do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know what? Joseph was propositioned by this woman. Have you ever thought about this? This woman was probably very attractive. Okay? Now think about the time that they were living in. Okay? Ladies, Mary Kay did not exist. Shocking. I know. Okay? There were not the modern conveniences of even being able to bathe regularly, okay? This is something you realize that having running water in your house is something that is relatively new to civilization, okay? But understand this. Listen. This woman was probably very attractive. Joseph did not say no because she was dog ugly, okay? That's not why he said no. He gives two reasons. Listen, look at it. Notice the two reasons, and these are very applicable to us. Notice this. Reason number one, he says, I can't do this. Number one, because you're not mine and you belong to someone else. Hey, listen, guy or girl, understand this. There's going to come a time, hopefully later in life, when you get serious about a guy or a girl. And I know sometimes we throw language around, we like to joke around, but understand, guys, listen, when you start dating a girl, she is not yours. She's not. Okay? She's God's. And she's her father's responsibility. Okay, ladies, it's the same way. Okay, he's not yours. It's not so. Joseph realized that. And this was one of the first things that he said. He said, "Hey, oh, I can't do this. I serve Potiphar. Potiphar doesn't even know all the things that I'm involved in relation to all that he has and all of his wealth. He's given me a lot of freedom, but I can't do this. Boy, you're not mine." Understand that. The second thing that he says, though, here is he lives his life for an audience of one, and that is before God. Reason number two, he said, "I would be sinning against God." Boy, those are great reasons to do the right thing. His reasoning was right. His rules were right. Joseph had rules for himself. Hey, listen, sometimes when we say the word standards, everybody wants to go legalistic. Hey, how many of you have heard that term, legalistic, before? Okay, people throw that around. They don't even know what it means. All right, I'm going to preach a message on legalism one day. Okay, for those of you who used it around, throw it around, and you don't know what it means. Okay, I'm going to preach a message just for you, so we all know. Okay, but listen, understand this: standards are not. Amen, Brother Matt. There we go. I like that. Listen, standards are not a bad word. They are a great word because Joseph here had boundaries in his life. Listen, you and I need boundaries. Okay, Joseph had things that he got. When he got in this situation, he was ready. He already made up his mind. Already made up his mind what he was going to do. Listen, ladies, if a guy tries to touch you in an inappropriate way, listen, just say, "No, creep," and then say, "I'm never talking to you again." Okay? Listen, it's easy. Listen, guys, I don't care. Listen, I don't care what kind of text she sends you. Okay? Listen, there is a time when you need to look it hard in the face and say, "Hey, there's some other principles in play here. Is this right?" I think that we're far too lenient in regards to some of these things. But understand, listen, anybody that's going to be successful in their Christian life has to have boundaries. Listen, Joseph had the boundaries, and he maintained his purity. Listen, the world is out to get your purity, teenager. Understand it. Boy, it is easier to give your purity away today than it's ever been. Ever. I firmly believe that. There are so many avenues and portals that you can do that, and the world looks at it and says, "Hey, that's just what teenagers do." But it's not. Because there was a teenage boy in the book of Genesis who said, "You know what? I don't live for my flesh. I live for God. And He's far more important to me than any girl or any guy this side of heaven." Listen, I challenge you. Listen, if you're going to live godly, you're going to lose something. There's going to be a time in your life where it's going to be challenging. But if Joseph, somehow we could bring him back and he could stand here before you today, I guarantee you he would say it was 100% worth every minute. 100% worth every decision he made that was right. And even though it was uncomfortable at time, he wouldn't change anything for anything. Teenager, don't be afraid to lose your coat. Don't turn back from following God because of adversity. And understand that even through adversity, you can have an attitude that is right. I encourage you to do it. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. One of the verses that I love to think about is the fact that the Lord said that He's given everything to us that pertains unto life and godliness. Sometimes we like to think, "Well, I don't have the tools to succeed or defeat that sin." Yes, you do. Sometimes you think, "Well, life has dealt me a bad hand and I cannot succeed because of fill in the blank." Understand all things. For life and godliness. We know that all things work together for good. Them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I wonder if you're here tonight and say, "Brother Scott, you know what? I have let some adversity just kind of nudge me off the track. And I'd have to lift my hand tonight in recognition of that." Anybody like that? Just by the uplifted hand tonight, you say, "You know what? There's been some adversity that's knocked me off. And I recognize it just by the uplifted hand." How many of you this evening, you would say this. Brother Scott, there's been some times in the recent future that my attitude has not been what it should have been. And I know tonight that the Lord is dealing with me about my attitude specifically. And I wish that you'd pray for me. Anybody like that tonight? In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And I encourage you to use the space down here in the front, not to make a show of things, to draw attention to yourself, but to simply get alone with God and talk to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the message of Joseph's life. Lord, these are some truths that, Father, I get worked up about. Lord, because they're truths that hit home, Lord. Everyday living, this is where it's at. I pray that You'd help us not to get sidetracked, knocked off track through adversity. Lord, pray that You'd bless this invitation time. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. God's dealt in your heart. I challenge you to come forward as the instrument plays tonight. The altar's open. If you need to do business with God, take advantage. Maybe it's not for you personally. Maybe the Lord's put somebody on your heart and mind that you know is going through a tough time. Maybe you want to pray for them. Maybe you want to ask God to preserve your spirit for future adversity that enters your life. Just take the time, talk with Him. Say, do you have to come forward to talk to the Lord? No, you don't. You can do it in your seat, and I encourage you to. Maybe there's a relationship with a parent. Maybe you've been so focused on your parents that you've not been willing to examine your own submission to the Lord. One more verse. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank You for speaking to our hearts. Lord, thank You for Your word. Lord, it's quick, it's powerful. It's unlike any other book. And Lord, I pray that we would be, Lord, absorbed and obsessed with it. Lord, even as we leave this place tonight, we would be pondering, Lord, some of the truths we've looked at. May we start afresh tomorrow morning. Lord, we love You and thank You for what You've done in Your heart and hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.